This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Let's get into this with a question, shall we? How much time can you be separated from your phone for? Maybe let's ask a previous question. How much time do you think you spend on your phone a day? How many hours? Is it hours or minutes? How much time do you think you spend on your phone, on your cell phone, in just one day? And how much time can you be away from your cell phone in one day? I'd love your take on it, because today we're discussing nomophobia. Right? And nomophobia is a term that is actually used to describe a psychological condition when people have a fear of being detached from their mobile phone connectivity. But how much time can you actually be separated from your phone for? If your phone had to go off now, how much time can you be comfortable with the fact that it's off? Is it a day? Is it 2 hours? Is it an hour? Is it 30 minutes? And how much time do you spend? You know, it's so beautiful. Some phones have got, and I don't know if your phone has got this, but mine certainly has, is that every Sunday, I hate it because it happens every Sunday. Every Sunday, it sends like a message of your weekly time spent on the phone. So like your weekly screen time. And my weekly screen time has clocked about 8 hours. 8 hours. I don't know if this is healthy or I don't know what's unhealthy, but my weekly screen time has clocked 8 hours. And then I just have to look at how much time I spend on it consistently. So that's like a screen time consistently. That means like I'm on my phone consistently for 8 hours or so a week. I personally think it's not that bad, but we'll find out from our experts in a moment. But Owen, let me ask you, grab your microphone quickly. How much time have you spent, or how much time do you think you spend on your phone a day? Not even a week, a day.
A day?
Yeah, a day.
Honestly speaking,
yeah, this is an honest...
No, I'm being honest. I don't spend much on my phone.
What do you mean?
I'm here at work. You can check my phone. Check the last
WhatsApp. Oh, that's why you don't respond to my WhatsApps?
I'm hardly on the phone, eh?
You're hardly on the phone?
I'm hardly on the phone.
If your phone goes off right now, right?
I won't bother myself.
For how long?
I don't have a charger with me.
You don't even walk around with a charger?
I charge my phone once. I charged like yesterday. Today, I haven't charged.
Last time you charged your phone was yesterday?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
I don't spend too much time on my phone. Not at all.
And if it goes off, it goes off?
Yeah.
Do you sleep with your phone off?
On silence, not for brief, for silence.
On silence? What's the point of sleeping with the phone on silence? This one I never understood. I don't even understand people that actually don't switch off their phones but put it on silence. Switch off the phone then, because you're not going to hear it ring.
Yeah, just put on silence. And when you wake up, you don't just switch it on. Then you just have to put it on vibration or sound.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some people are really actualized in life. Hey, I'm not there yet. When I grow up, I will be like you.
I've stopped using Twitter.
You've stopped using social... Oh, God.
You see?
All right, you need to. This is why I don't switch on your microphone, because you're just another human. How much time do you spend on your phone, and how much time can your phone stay off for before you feel like there's something wrong? I tell you now, my phone goes off, I have a panic attack. It's like a little mini panic attack. Valerie says 10 minutes. I don't even have. Valerie's also self-actualized a little bit there. My phone goes off now. I need to find a charger now to switch it on now. My phone is never off, ever. Like I don't know how to, it's never off and it's never on silent unless I'm on air. So unless I'm working in TV or radio or in a meeting, that's the only time my phone is on silent. The rest of the time my phone is on. I literally get anxiety when my phone is off. I get scared that I won't wake up, or I get scared that I will miss something. Wow. So mine is bad, I guess. And then I also have a bad habit. I don't know how many people have this. I've got a bad habit of time and time again, I pick it up and hold it in my hand. So I can put it away, but time and time again, my fingers get itchy, and then I'll pick it up and then I'll look through it. And then I'll pick it up and even if I don't have a message, I'll pick it up and then I'll look through it. So clearly this conversation is for me. But how much time do you spend on your phone? A day or a week? And if your phone goes off, how much time can it stay off for before you feel like there's something wrong? Are you that person? And I know a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business people actually have got a lot of time, spend a lot of time on their phones. A lot of business people spend a lot of time on their phones. I know somebody who has to walk around with a charger because their phone is always off. But how much time do you spend on your phone? Let me welcome our guest for this conversation this afternoon. We've got Matabo Sikonyana, who's a manager, communications manager for Aduzi Power. Matabo, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Hello, team. Thank you so much. Very happy to be here.
And we've also got, is it Leanne Potgieter, director of Techno Life Wise Foundation? Hi, Leanne.
Hi, Faith. Yes, it's Leanne Potgieter. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much for joining us, Leanne. And we've also got Jody de Riek, who is a clinical psychologist. Jody, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Let's start off with you, Leanne, regarding just even understanding and unpacking nomophobia. You know, I didn't even know it was a term, nomophobia. There's actually a whole thing around being detached from your mobile phones. But what can you tell us about the rise of the smartphone or the mobile phone in the South African? Maybe you can give us even in the African context.
You know what? I think we learn new terms every single day. So this one is definitely very new. It's similar to FOMO, where you have that fear of missing out. And yes, it's amazing how the mobile phone has just basically taken over our lives. I think in Africa, we skipped the laptop computer stage, and we've gone straight to the mobile phone phase. And you know what they say about this addiction? It is actually the biggest non-drug addiction of the 21st century, this addiction that we have. And it is an addiction to our phones and to having our phones and to be constantly connected.
Yeah. You know, Jody, I was reading here that more people worldwide own a cell phone than a toothbrush. And research shows that more than 60% of people fall asleep with their phones at night. People own cell phones more than their own toothbrushes. Clearly, hygiene is at the bottom of the priority list here when it comes to civilization. Just talk to us a little bit about some of this anxiety that exists.
So I think the cell phone anxiety, we've become kind of a world that's replaced happiness with pleasure, because our cell phones kind of give us pleasure, and at the base of pleasure is dopamine. And so we're kind of triggering our pleasure centers all the time, whereas at the base of happiness is serotonin. So we're kind of swapping out pleasure for happiness. We're looking for those little hits all the time, rather than having happiness, which is rooted more in purpose and experiences and meaningful connection.
Sure. You know, and we'll expand a little bit of that, Jody, because you said something so valuable around even the chemicals that get released. And I want us just to unpack it a little bit. But Matabo, when we're looking at even, you know, how much time people can actually spend without being on their phones. And I was making reference to when my phone dies, for example, I have to switch it on immediately, right? I get like a little bit of anxiety and I can't have my phone off because I don't know who's looking for me at whatever particular moment in time. But you guys have also done some research when it comes to what's going on in the status quo around cell phone usage. Just take us through it.
Awesome. So I think for us, the first thing was really that question around addiction. And when in our latest survey, we saw that over 80% of people have actually said, yes, I am addicted to my phone.
80%? Wow.
Over 80%. Sure. And I think what was the most interesting thing when we're looking at the research is that feeling of that anxiety, that feeling of I'm vulnerable without my phone. And then when we look at South Africa specifically, the main concern about my phone being off was for them around safety concerns. Can I call my Uber, my Didi, et cetera? If I am in a situation, can I contact? If I get a message, that panic of I wasn't able to respond to that.
And this thing, as I said, people worldwide own a cell phone more than they own a toothbrush. Yes, like it. That means that cell phones are really being prioritized here, hey?
I would suggest, in my humble opinion, please also own a toothbrush.
It certainly is. It's a very interesting one. But maybe, Jody, you can just unpack for us a little bit about what actually defines addiction. You know, every time we speak about addiction, we almost look at somebody who's either a drug addict or, you know, an alcoholic, or we always go to, you know, people that use some kind of substances without actually having to pay attention to the normal things that we do every single day that could just take over our day.
Well, I think that addiction has got more to do with, you know, feeling like you can't do without it, the anxiety without it, not being able to kind of exist without it, as well as masking, you know, instead of actually dealing with certain things or recognizing what's happening in your life, you're using something to kind of mask what's going on. So maybe there's a boredom or loneliness, and instead of attending to that and recognizing that, you're reaching for your phone. I mean, I know they were talking the other day about some kids as well that literally having panic attacks and perspiring and sweating and feeling anxious if they're separated from their telephone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very good example of an addiction where it's something that you just feel like, I cannot live without, I have to have this.
Mm-hmm. One wonders also, Matabo, and also fam, if you've just joined us for the conversation, we're talking about nomophobia or no mobile phone phobia, if you have to break it down, right? It is a term to describe a psychological condition when people have a fear of being detached from their mobile phone activity. The question that we're asking you today is, how much time can you actually be away from your cell phone for? And how much time do you actually spend on your phone? Let's say a day. Let me not even make it a day. How much time do you think you spend on your phone a day? If you want to go for a week, how much time do you think you spend on your phone maybe a week? For me, because of this darn weekly screen thing that gives me a message on Sundays, and I know it's on Sundays because it irritates the bejesus out of me. It irritates me because it makes me feel guilty. It tells me 8 hours. I'm usually clocking like 8 hours when it comes to screen time, and then I get like all upset because I think I'm obsessed with my phone. But, you know, that's just how much screen time I spend. How much time do you spend? But I want us to unpack a little bit, Matabo, about perhaps even what fuels this. You know, when we're looking back at the time of cell phones, right, when the Motorola's came out and the 3310s came out and the, was it a 5220, I think it was even one time. They didn't have social media and all the likes, all of these added apps that allow us to engage with the phone and allow us to engage with the outside world. You were limited to playing Tetris, you know, and Snake on a good day.
Snake was fire though.
Yeah, Snake was really my man. Like, I had to get the highest score with Snake, you know, but you were limited in terms of what you could do with the cell phone. Could that be an explanation as to why is it that we've increased our time spent on cell phones? Is that the introduction of the smartness of the smartphone has allowed us to feel as though we're part of a bigger community as opposed to being limited to, you know, whether or not your Snake can hit the wall?
Yeah, I mean, I think with phones in general, it really does come down to that thing around connectedness, right? So if we look at, I don't know if you guys remember when Mixit came out. So when Mixit came out, I was still in high school and you'd like fall asleep chatting on Mixit, right?
Mm.
Before that, people are getting their news or their connection to the outside world through newspapers. You bring in smartphones, you bring in Twitter, Facebook, all of those things, that screen time goes up. When we were doing this research, we also saw that since COVID, globally, smartphone use is up by 45%. And if you remember, obviously, with COVID, you can't really go out and see your friends. So you're needing that additional connectedness, which is why I think this addiction or this nomophobia has even increased over the last kind of 2 to 3 years.
Sure. And Neen, when we're talking also about the age groups that are affected by it, you know, maybe I'm being presumptuous in saying that for me, in my circle, I know a lot of business people cannot be away from their phone simply because you don't know when the deal is going to come in and you don't know who's looking for you, whatever particular moment in time. But who spends more time really on the phone? Is it adolescents, children, or adults?
Well, I have to say, and I've observed this, I think it's all of us. You know, you would think that maybe teenagers would spend a lot of time on Instagram and chatting with their friends on WhatsApp or whichever chatting platform. But my mom, who's 80, lives with us, and I've seen her spend a lot of time on her phone. I don't know why, or maybe it's boredom or it's that connectedness, but I don't think we can actually sort of categorize it into age groups anymore. I think all of us spent way too much time on the phone. So it's quite interesting to see that, what it brings to the different age groups. So I think different age groups, different people get something different from spending time on their phone.
Jody, can phones be used to mask loneliness and to mask isolation by people?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's maybe one of the biggest areas that, you know, is problematic, is that instead of having that real meaningful connection or that experience, we're connecting over the phone, which doesn't always allow, I mean, look, there's positives, absolutely, but it doesn't always allow that really meaningful connection to develop and that sense of having an experience together. And as I said, it's shooting up your dopamine, which often if your dopamine gets high, it actually starts affecting and dropping your serotonin, which is the real happiness, that contentedness. So absolutely it can, yes.
Yeah. I'll just expound for us a little bit there, Jody, around what gets released by what. So when I'm on my phone, and let's say hypothetically speaking, I'm on social media, because as I said, smartphones have allowed for a bigger conversation of feeling like you're connected to a bigger world. You go onto your phone and you go onto Instagram or you go onto Twitter or Facebook, and then you see that people are liking something that you post.
Yes.
What
yes.
is that release? Is that the dopamine that gets released? And what does dopamine make you feel, and how does it make you feel versus serotonin?
So dopamine is, so you're getting those dopamine hits from maybe a message coming through. It's like a reward. It feels rewarding. You're getting that from the likes. You kind of feel rewarded. It's kind of building up, but it's a very short term, and it's very sort of instant gratification, and then it's gone again. Whereas the serotonin is more of that constant feeling of contentment, satisfaction, being fulfilled. It's much longer lasting. So you're needing those kind of reward hits all the time to kind of keep a pleasurable feeling going, as opposed to, say, an example where you go out, you have a wonderful time with your friends, or you keep on that continuing relationship, or maybe you're even doing something, an activity, or you're giving or contributing something, and then there's that underlying feeling of fulfillment and contentment that lasts for a lot longer and is far more fulfilling.
Sure. How much time do you spend on your phone? 0861-987-000. And when your phone goes off, how long can your phone stay off for before you start to panic? And panic because you're afraid of what's on the other side of the dead phone. Let's go to Pretoria. Hi, Sharon.
Hey, Faith, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. And you, ma'am? Go ahead.
I'm all right. This phone issue is a problem for me, because I feel like people can just zone out while you are sitting with them, especially in relationships where people are starting to be laughing with their phones and you are sitting there like that. Am I invisible? Am I not here?
I
hate that. But all in all, my phone is not my friend. I'm those people who charges their phone only maybe twice a week.
How much?
My phone,
how much
a week.
Twice a week, Sharon?
Twice a week.
And then what's happening for the remainder of the week?
The phone is on during working hours.
Yeah.
My phone is on during working hours. When I get home, I switch it off. I just put it on plain mode. I think from 6 until tomorrow.
From 6?
And then, from 6 o'clock, my phone is off. I'm done for the day. But when I'm in a relationship, of course, I would switch it. I would just put it on flight mode when I go to bed. To avoid those people who call you at 12 midnight, hey, I'm just checking on you, you know?
Sharon, aren't you scared that, Sharon, aren't you, ever scared that you are going to miss a phone call, or maybe, your family needs you at, 12 o'clock at night or something, you're going to get news at 12 o'clock at night? Do you never get scared that you're going to miss out on news? They always say that the weirdest news comes in after, 10. You never get scared of that?
Oh. No, because I've learned over some time that people have their own people whom they call when they're in emergencies, especially because I'm far away from everyone. So the only time I try to have my phone on is during December holidays, because I feel like everyone is gone to Limpopo and everywhere, and my little sister usually likes to stay behind.
Yeah.
So then I'll keep checking on her so that I can have my phone off, you know, in case she needs anything. But all in all, my phone is off. When we close the office in December, my phone is off the entire season. I don't really care. What am I doing with a phone? I just go to Instagram and check for 2 minutes.
Twitter, for 2 minutes?
And then I'm done for the day. What is it that I don't know about likes. I mean, people will like your posts but don't even know you.
You know, I feel like you need to come and conduct a masterclass. Oh, Sharon, thank you so much
for
giving your insights. What? Really? No, guys. My phone doesn't even lock. My battery has been lost a day. Not even a day. No, it doesn't. My battery does not last a day. By the time the end of the day comes, I need to charge it again because it's that active. It never lasts a day. You see, she's nodding. It never lasts a day. No. As I said, I'm trying to self-actualize here by getting your answers. How much time do you spend on your phone? Hey, Katlego, before you go into the news, how much time do you spend a day on your phone?
I'm always on my phone.
Right.
I think also because we use it as a tool, you know, as journalists, to source news, to communicate with our fellow, you know, journos in the streets. So the battery life never lasts. I agree with you there. I'm always on my phone. I can never imagine not being on my phone.
See,
I mean, even if I leave it in the car and then go, you know, inside the house,
yeah,
2 minutes later, I'd remember that, oh no, there's something missing. I need my phone, and then I'll go back.
I have to tell myself when I go into a shop, it's okay. Leave your phone behind. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. You're coming back. You're going to the shop. If you miss anything, you'll catch up on it.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Let's hear from Katlego Lehodi with the latest Empower News. It's 1:30.
Call Faith on 0861-987-000.
It is 26 minutes to go before the top of the hour. We're still in conversation with our specialist there, Jody Deriak, who's a clinical psychologist, Lean Potgieter, director of Technolife Wiser Foundation, Matabo Sikunyana, who is a communications manager for Aduzi Power. We're having a conversation around nomophobia. Or no mobile phone phobia, a term used to describe a psychological condition when people have a fear of being detached from mobile phone connectivity. We're getting to understand exactly just how prevalent this is. Let me read this. I love this stat, and I keep saying it because it's absolutely frightening. More people worldwide own a cell phone than a toothbrush. While research shows that more than 60% of people fall asleep with their phones at night. How much time do you spend on your phone? And when your phone goes off, how much time can you be apart from it or away from it? Can you be detached from it or do you suffer from nomophobia? Let's share this afternoon on 0861-987-000. Matabo, can we get to a point where, you know, people lose phone etiquette? Jody and a previous caller was mentioning how sometimes people will be with others in the space and will be on their mobile phones the whole time. And I often wondered, is that just rudeness? Is that person being just rude and wanting to be detached? Or is it a state where they can't help themselves any longer? So they go into this deep, dark pool where they've completely missed out on just having etiquette.
So, Faith, you know, it's funny because I've done that. You know, when you catch something on your phone, you're talking with someone, you catch something on your phone and you get so absorbed by it, you just go into it and then suddenly realize how rude you are being. So, I mean, I think that some of it is just, you know, we can be so distracted by everything that's going on, but it is rude, obviously. And sometimes, you know, I do think that the young are also very, very affected because they're growing up with the phones and it's very central to any of their communications and their connections. And they can just be totally absorbed and totally just, you know, with some children that we're having to do therapy with now, they actually start panicking. They start sweating or crying or getting headaches or if they're parted from their phones because it's just so much a part of them and so much a part, it's particularly if they're being given the phones too young and then there's also that sort of dopamine reliance and they're being trained into it.
So that you've got a lot of young people to that point, Jody, that are addicted to the feeling. So they're addicted to the release of dopamine every time something is favorable. So it's not the phone, it's the feeling and the hormone that they get as a result of the stimulus. So the phone will be the stimulus, and then the effect obviously would be the dopamine release.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure. And feeling just that absolute fear of I'm going to miss out, and you know, I'm not going to be able to respond to people. Absolutely.
Yeah. Lynn, load shedding has really played a number on us, all as citizens, because, you know, depending on what level we are in this country, we never know, because winter's coming. So we might even go to level 8. But it certainly has made our connectivity less certain. Because any moment in time, you'll have an announcement of load shedding, and sometimes we find ourselves without a cell phone and the like. But are we finding that people are able to adjust to that? I think that every time I see load shedding, or every time I get load shedding, the first thing I do is run to my car to plug it in, right? Thank God there's other means now. But before, I'd run to the car and plug it in and make sure that I'm not left behind. Has load shedding also a little bit connected us a little bit and made us even more anxious around missing out? We're in the dark and we don't even have our phones?
Yes, I do absolutely think so, Faith. It has certainly done that. But you know what? I think once you become aware, and you become aware of how much this thing in your hand impacts your life, so it's a lot about self-awareness. And you realize that it's taking away from my special time with special ones, or my focus when I work and I start making mistakes, or I actually feel that the bodily thing where you feel anxious and depressed, or you perspire. Then you realize that, and I think for me, it is almost a relief when the power is out, because then I have sort of a good excuse to say that, you know what, I couldn't charge my phone, I couldn't answer my calls, I couldn't do this or that. So in a way, I have realized that it's not good for me, and I think that's where the self-awareness comes in. And like I say, yes, load shedding has definitely made us more anxious, but once you know that this is actually a break. Just give me a break from this phone, from this connectedness forever and always. I think it's actually a good thing, you know, once you realize this impact that the phone or this interconnectedness have on your life, on your whole being.
Yeah.
Sorry, just to jump in there. I think the load shedding discussion is so interesting because it kind of creates the perfect storm if you think about the addiction to your phone. Because not distract yourself with anything else, because most things we, you know, use need electricity. Your phone's off, you're anxious, etc. Because when we looked at our user data, you know, people are kind of renting the Drizzy power banks maybe once a day generally. The minute load shedding hits, they're renting as many as 2 or 3 times a day.
Sure.
That means you simply cannot be without your phone.
Yeah. Actually, expand on this, Mataba, and maybe you can put this argument as well as you lean to bed. Does a phone have radiation that is enough to cause cancer if I put my phone under my pillow or if I put my phone next to me? So there's always been this warning that don't put your phone close by, don't have it too much, don't spend too much time in your ear, because there's a whole lot of radiation that gets passed down and then you're going to get yourself, you're going to get cancer. So can we just give us insight on in terms of that? Does it cause cancer and does it have radiation and how much? I know who wants to take it first. Mataba, do you want to start?
I do not want to take it first, second, or last, because you're going to quote me.
Why?
No, thank you. I will pass on to the experts.
Lynn?
You're putting me in a tight spot now. There has been research on this, and yes, definitely it radiates. There's no two ways about that.
Oh.
Because the body is an electrical system, and this uses electricity, so the two do meet. So there is definitely electronics and electro pollution involved in this. When it comes to causing cancer, yes, there's also been research done about that. I can't say that it's conclusive in the sense that there's so many other environmental factors, dietary factors, emotional factors that could also cause cancer. So it's not to say it's only that, but yes, it does definitely play a role in some physical illnesses as well.
Wow. So, Lynn, there is radiation that gets emitted by your phone, and having it too close to you is not healthy.
Yes. Definitely.
Oh, wow. 0861-987-000. How much time do you spend on your phone? Nono in Green Village, you say you're addicted.
Sure, I'm dancing.
Welcome, Nona. This is a very safe space where we can all chat as addicts. It's okay. Go ahead, Mama.
You don't know how much phones you have.
No. How many phones do you have?
And the people think that I'm a cheating guy. No. I've got my pills with my family. Six
dozen. No. You've got six phones.
Video call six.
No. There's not enough time of the day to use six phones. How do you use six phones?
I'm a house manager. So it's easy for me. I'm a house manager.
Ay, Mara, no. Six phones. That is so dodgy. But six phones. That is so dodgy, Nona. What are you doing with six phones?
Nothing. My kids, my hubby has got my pills, my purses, everything.
Six? No. Wow. And you use all six?
All of them. Only when I leave, like maybe Mafu, Manyalo, then I only take one. But everywhere else, my bag, my phones.
Wow. And do you sleep with your phone on? Well, phones for your case.
Unfortunately, I've got insomnia. They are my best buddies. Best.
So can I ask you this, Nono? If one day, for whatever reason, that the lights go off and then all your phones die, all of them, all six of them, how do you think it will feel?
I hear the news say load shedding is a meal. I tell her, it's every day it's load shedding, like two times, three times a day. I make sure that power bank is full. I make sure at least I've got to have one light.
I know, no, 6 phones.
No.
What are you doing with 6 phones? No, me, I don't know if I can trust you. thanks for sharing, sis. Wow. 6 phones, really? Gosh. Ronan Deck saying that lady with 6 phones, oh my gosh, she's scamming someone. She says everything is fine, it's just the 6 phones. Ardney saying, for my side, since last year, I don't care. I managed to stay about 7 hours without a phone. 7 hours without a phone, that's significant. Jeanette Depora, hi Jeanette, saying guilty as charged. Kirobatsaki phone. I have TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Instagram for business. I buy secondhand beautiful bags. Facebook for friends that I know. Twitter for current news and gossip. TikTok for humor. Wow, guys. Zikosma saying people who switch off their phones at night aren't to be trusted. I cannot agree with you, actually. I cannot agree with you more, that is. I don't know how to... Yeah, have your phone on all the time. Glowgetter saying, crucial conversation around nomophobia. Mara, I don't even look at that weekly report. I honestly don't want to live with that guilt. I look at it and I feel guilty as charged every single Sunday when that thing goes up. It says weekly screen time report. It's 13:45. How much time do you spend on your phone? I'll take your calls after this. Yes, you have to get out because this is my studio. Thank you for going.
Power Lunch with Faith Mangope.
You're very silly. 0861987000. I'm still taking your phones. Just having a conversations about nomophobia this afternoon. And just how addicted are people to their mobile devices? How long can you go without having to actually turn off your phone, or without having to turn on your phone, that is? And how have you been disoriented by the actual blackouts? I want us to speak to a little bit, Jody, around the psychological impact. I mean, and just to delve a little bit deep in terms of just some of the panic, the agitation, anxiety, disorientation that people actually experience as a result of this. You know, if one day we were to have like a phone blackout, so as it were, does that mean we'll have a whole lot of people going absolutely, I can't say bonkers. I'm trying to find a psychologically sound term, but would we have a whole lot of people that are frantic?
Yes, so I think there is a difference. Like, Faith, I mean, we're gassing around and you're kind of saying, well, I'm having 8 hours of FaceTime, which is about 32 hours a month. I mean, you could probably write a book, you know, or do something really constructive and really meaningful. But that's not really the addiction. With when people are having a full-on addiction, there would be absolute panic, anxiety, perspiration, sweating. And it is impacting people in that they're not engaging in meaningful activities. They're getting overweight. They're getting headaches. They're battling to sleep at night. Yes, it would be, it's, you know, the real full-on addiction. I mean, we all joke, oh, I'm addicted to my phone. But that full-on addiction, which is happening in increasing numbers, especially among the youth, is actually having a big impact on their lives.
Sure. But also, Lean, I'm sure it's having some kind of impact on family dynamics as well. I always say this with my family members. Every time we go out, we're at a restaurant, and I don't know how many people can relate to this, but if you go out with a group of people or your family in a restaurant, there would be that one moment where the whole table is quiet, and then it takes one person to look around the table and realize that everybody's on their cell phones. Somewhere, somehow, they've managed to migrate towards their cell phones quite sneakily, I might add. It's almost like we're losing touch. It's like our human interaction, even though we are amongst us human, it's not enough anymore. Our in-person communication seems to not be enough, because even in a table full of people, there will be somebody that goes on their phones at that moment in time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the, in a way, the sad part, is that we lose that actual connection. We want to be connected and interconnected and always connected. But what about the people that's sitting right in front of us, right next to us, and the people who are dear to us? And we are connected with the world, but we forget about that special relationship. So I think even as something like a screen, like a television, when you have dinner at night and everybody's staring at the screen and eating, and you're not really taking notes of what you're eating, you're not really tasting it, not really experiencing your food, you're just staring at the screen, it has a huge impact. And I even in my family, I'm also guilty as George. I want to say something. I want to talk with them, but people are more interested in what's on the TV or on their phone or something else. So, and that makes me angry and anxious. So, yes, it does have a huge impact on our relationship and our being human. We are here to create, I believe. We are here to do stuff with our lives. We are here to experience life with our senses. And when we're always on our phones, that doesn't happen, because the phone is very one-dimensional. You know, it only stimulates certain senses. But what about your sense of touch and that really that feeling and taste and sounds that you can, like natural things that we can enjoy?
Yeah.
So you're not good for relationships.
Yeah, definitely. But Mataba, it also speaks to how society is evolving, you know, and based on some of the research that you guys have conducted, the status of the of human interaction and the scope of human interaction, how has it evolved as a result of us being on our mobile phones for so long? Are we less sociable people? Are we less people that love being around people? Or does it make us just want to connect even more? Or do we desire a different form, a different kind of connection than the one that we were used to traditionally before we had these smart devices?
I think you raise a really interesting and important point there around a different type of connection. Although I'm by no means saying, you know, we shouldn't want to be around our families, our friends, or people who are near and dear to us. We've seen as this kind of nomophobia, as this increased phone use has just happened, how much connection there is, for example, online. How many spaces are created? How many places to be understood are created? And obviously it's a double-edged sword, but I do think people, as we become more technological, we are looking for ways to connect outside of our immediate sphere. And I think those things can bring joy too on some level.
Yeah. 0861987000. How are you doing with nomophobia? Do you suffer from it? Or are you that individual that can, like Owen, who is so judgy, can actually be away from your phone for like a day and nothing will affect you? If you ask me, no, I can't. I'm not that person yet. Bunele and Binoni, hi.
Hi, Faith, how are you?
Very well, thanks, and you? Go ahead.
I'm good, thank you. First of all, it's my first time on air, so I'm really, really excited.
Woo! Welcome to the show! Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I think this is such an important topic, and it's so funny. I've been thinking about this since the year started, to be honest, because I know I'm absolutely addicted to my phone. I can't be away from it for a while. And, you know, the funny thing that happened was last year I told my therapist about it, and he said, you know, maybe get an app and, you know, do some meditations, do some mindfulness. And the funny thing about that is, you know, you have to get on the app. You have to get on your phone.
To use the app.
And
I'm so sorry for you for that issue. But, yeah,
it's like, so you try to do this relaxation thing, and then next thing you find yourself in another app, you know, like Instagram or what. And it's so interesting. And I've just been observing my house. And what I've realized is maybe what I need to do is have a bunch of analog devices like MP3 players, actual cameras, so I don't need to use my phone to take pictures and play music. You know, I can go for a run with just my MP3 player in the morning.
Yeah.
If I go out, I have an actual camera to take pictures, because I really do think it's a serious problem. I think it's the reason why we might be having a relationship pandemic right now.
Yeah.
People are not spending time alone. Because if you're introverted and you're spending time alone and you're on your phone, I don't think that really counts as alone time. I think you're not really thinking about your thoughts and your ideas. I don't think you get to restore. So it's such an interesting topic. So I'll definitely be staying tuned to hear how the rest of the country feels about this.
Thank you very much for adding your voice to it as well, Bonele. Let's go to Four Ways. Hi, Vivek.
Hi, how are you, Faith?
Very well, thanks, and you? Go ahead.
Excellent. I have a question about, sleeping next to your phone and the correlation to cancers. How close is too close to sleep to one's phone is a question I had.
Okay, Lien, maybe you can help us there. How close is too close?
I think probably within a meter. So don't have it within a meter to next to your bed. So at least at arm's length, I would keep it away.
So up next to your bedstand, basically, and shift your bedstand a little bit.
Mm-hmm. All right, super. That's all I had to ask. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling in there, Vivek. But you know, it does go into and Jody, we're talking a lot about the psychological aspect of it, because human interaction is changing daily. Relationships are even changing daily. Loneliness is being masked by the availability of this interconnectivity that is brought on by cell phones and the like. But in a relationship and you've got a partner that spends way too much time on their phone, right? How do you start that conversation of, listen, I'm here, let's bond, get off the phone? Or do you have to accept them with their etiquette? I mean, can you even institute no phone zones in the time spent with your family, maybe even the kids, or even with your partner?
I think you said that really well, Faith, is that absolutely. I think one of the most important things, I mean, we're talking about two different things. You know, people who just feel like they're using their phone too often and they're too much there and it's cutting connection, and then people who have nomophobia. And I think one of the big things is exactly what you're saying, is communicating, and also is just setting boundaries. It's just saying, well, maybe we're going to have some time without a phone, or there's no phone at dinner time, or we can put the kids' phones away in the evening, or exactly what you're saying. I think you said it perfectly.
Yeah. Then, Lien, in terms of being able to even be smart enough about even these devices, can you just talk to us a little bit about the dangers of going and giving children phones, especially for longer periods of time? And what are some of those realities that we have to contend with as adults, and what we're exposing kids to?
Yeah, I think it's very important that especially parents empower themselves and get to know the dangers of too much screen time. So children, just as adults, can get addicted to it. You will see tantrums, red eyes, they don't sleep, they don't eat. When you take away the phone, they go almost like into a panic, they have a panic attack. So I don't think children younger than 12 should have a phone. They should definitely not be on social media, because then in the teenage years, it has a huge impact on their self-esteem and their self-confidence, because you're comparing yourself to others and you're comparing yourself to this unrealistic, non-real world. So parents, first of all, must definitely get more empowered, and they must watch their own
their own behavior as well, because you know how children learn, they watch what we do. So that's very important. And their kids, we still have, we can say no, and we can see, I can even see with my child, I can see the effect it has on him when I say no, or you can't watch TV anymore, you can't watch my phone. And I can see that it's not normal behavior when I take that away. And I've realized, you know, then it is not good for him. So it's very important that kids stay away. They must experience life. And the best way to learn is through play, playing in the mud, playing in nature, being outside, all of that. And they don't get that from a phone. And it also has a huge impact on their brain development, because kids have to move. You have to move, and you have to develop muscle and muscle tone and all of that. And the brain and the body work together. And when you're only staring at something and your body is just, you are just sitting, you know, in one position, your brain actually don't develop as much as it should. And we sort of preventing children from that brain development and the physical development when they're only watching a phone and staring at a screen.
All right, we're going to go into even and wrap up with our guests after the news, in terms of just what to look out for if your child is spending way too much time on the phone, how to prevent it, how to save your battery lives, how to save yourself a little bit of time spent on the phone. And I do see you there, Mike and Santon. We'll also take your calls on 0861-987-000. Right now, it's 2 o'clock. Let's get your latest in Power News.
Power Lunch with Faith Mangope. Weekdays, 12 to 3 p.m. on Power 98.7.
Shall we talking here? We're going to be wrapping up with our guests soon around nomophobia, or no mobile phone phobia, which is a term to use to describe a psychological condition when people have a fear of being detached from mobile phone connectivity. Yeah, it's a real thing. It's so real that we're hearing even from some of our family members saying that they've got six phones, my goodness. Cyprian, handsome Rob, saying, Cyprian here, at 7 o'clock when I leave for work, my phone is my radio and communicator. It's in my ears until 5 p.m. When my wife gets home, then it's her time, and my daughter when I sleep, my phone is under my pillow. Don't do that, Cyprian. Remember, it needs to be 1 meter away from you, just because it's radiation on a headboard counter. So yeah, just be very careful of that one. Alman Mutlala saying that, as a punter, if you see me on app or Betway app, for me until I'm done, and then you have me the next 2 hours back again on the Betway app. Now my family and friends know my routine around the phone as well as the app as well. But 0861-987-000, how bad are you when it comes to your phone? Mike and Sam, and hey, you're also making reference to the fact that crime is a big contributing factor of being in our phones. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was very doing that.
Yeah, pila wenu njani puti.
Ah, grand, my sister. Well, I wanna the sad part of this thing, yari phone, skiza na. The problem, guti, we are living in fear, ne? You thinking, guti, whenever you at home, your loved ones are out there, you don't know, guti, guys are alone, guti. You always expecting equal, guti. Something, if only I could have a little bit of a research, you begin the research, you know. Magazine, I check 95% yes, these are like South Africa, in a map. That tells you, we are living in the, I mean, a rough society.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a part, like you are living in a cage. I mean, there's no PC. Crime is all over.
Yeah. I hear you, Mike, and you make a very good point around that, and you're absolutely right with saying that because of the crime rate in this country, you almost have to be connected all the time, because it's almost like there's no knowing what's around the corner, right? And by having your mobile device, it gives you some form of security that you are able then to call out for help. And speaking about help, Matabo, maybe you can also, as we wrap up this conversation, what must I be in the lookout for so that I know that I need help? Or what must I look out for that will say to me, you know what, it's no longer funny where we can phone in and we can just laugh about it and just, like, you know, all feel guilty, but where you actually say, you know what, this has gone past the point of healthy and I just may need a third party intervention.
I think, again, it goes back to those tenets of what addiction is. If you can see that you really can't do without, if you start feeling those feelings of anxiety and you realize they're not just around the safety aspect, around either that loneliness or, you know, that need to be seen, or that kind of anxiety, those negative feelings, that's the first step to kind of take a look inside, kind of introspect.
Yeah, it lead also, I mean, it certainly says so much about how people perhaps are becoming more and more isolated, you know, and I don't know as yet if it's a good or a bad thing. Maybe you can shed light, because, I mean, we can't avoid technology, and we are fast moving in a world where AI is going to be there, where we're going to see more and more developments that cause us to almost be isolated, even in our way of relating to one another.
Yes, Faith, I think, you know, AI and all of that, I think we are still human, and we must still have that creative power, if you want to call it power, over AI. Because otherwise, and maybe this is also very controversial, but they will take AI, and I call it they will take over, because we still program them. But now we're also teaching them how to feel, and we're teaching them about emotions and more, maybe spiritual stuff in the sense of the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're teaching the machines this. And what are we actually saying? That we want to be controlled by a machine, because we're teaching them. So yeah. I think we should.
At that point, Lean, just to interject, and to maybe you can expound on that. I mean, Siri nowadays has got even ways of speaking. Siri, you ask her a question, she can roll, right? So you already have somebody that you can speak to that you don't even see.
Yes, exactly. So what about humans then? Are we going to be needed, you know?
Yeah.
So I think we must really go back to our, and not forget that we're still human. We're flesh and blood with feelings and hopes and dreams and expectations and sadness and all of the things that life brings. And I think it's important that we make a decision. So yes, we can become isolated, but I still think it's up to us. We have that co-creation power to say that, yes, I want it, or no, I don't want it. It doesn't work for me. And I think, once again, that's that self-awareness thing. So it's different for everyone. But to your last question about when do you know you need help, I think especially when it comes to social media and it's affecting your mental health. So if you've been looking at Facebook or Instagram or something, and when you put your phone down, you feel like a sense of discontentment. I'm not happy with my life. Mm-hmm. Nothing's really wrong, but I'm not happy, and I pick a fight with my partner or so on. Then you should really look at, like, well, what happened? What has just happened? So I've just had a look at Facebook or Instagram, and the next moment I'm unhappy with my life. So I think you must start looking out for those signs that, you know what, maybe it is taking over some part of my life. And then, you know, you can either get help, or you can help yourself in that sense. Say, listen, I'm going to limit myself to this. I'm going to stop comparing myself with other people and other people's lives.
Yeah, no, we learn something new every day. And I think that every single day we start realizing how, even with the growth of technology and the smartness of smartphones, the very pertinent part that we always need to be conscious of is our humanity and the role that we play as human beings within that. That we shouldn't take the fact that we're human and we've got human interactions and needs, so as it were, and that cannot be replaced by a smartphone, no matter how smart that smartphone is. We'll leave it there. Lean Potgieter, a director of Techno LifeWise Foundation, Matabo Sekonyana, a communications manager of Aduzi Power, as well as Dr. Jody Deriak, who's a clinical psychologist, and UFAM for just being so open and honest and vulnerable with this conversation. I love it. I love it every time we can share something. Don't worry, guilty as charged as well. I spend probably a lot of time on my phone, and I do feel a little bit anxious if I'm not around it. The good thing is I'm learning, though, not to have it around when it's family time, sort of like put it away for a little bit until something happens.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.